Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. We're going to pray. Father, as we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, we thank and praise your name for this, your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come before you and give praise and thanks to your holy name for all the blessings you bestowed upon your people. We ask, Father, that the words that you have for us this day would have free course in us, that you would cause us to yield and surrender to you and to give, Father, our praise and glory to you. We know that we were created for your praise and for your honor and for your glory, not for ourselves, but for you. So we ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and cause each one of us to be raised to a higher level of service, to show that love that Yahshua showed to each one of us, to our neighbors, to our enemies. Help us, Father, to fulfill the covenant, to overcome this life so that we could walk with you in your kingdom when Yahshua returns. We know that kingdom is coming to this earth, and it's coming soon. And that's why these changes that are coming upon this earth so rapidly and so desperately are needed. So, Father, as you try to get our attention, we ask that you would humbly cause us to listen and to hear the Shema, to open our ears and to hear and to respond by giving glory to you and humbling our hearts before your throne of grace and surrendering to you, Father. And we thank you for all the blessings. We ask that you bless those again that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And we ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and cause your people to be sincere as we try to overcome this world. In the name of Yahshua the Messiah, Father, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, again, Connected to the Source. This is actually part 7 of this series that I'm doing. Connected to the Source, part 7. Yahweh is the source of all life, and we must be connected to Him to have a successful life. Only through His Holy Spirit and through the blood of Yahshua do we have the power to overcome this life. How we speak to one another reflects the influence of the devil or the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think about all your relationships with your spouse, children, parents, your bosses, your coworkers, employees. Is there a relationship that is testing you today, brethren? I find myself repenting often in my relationship with my youngest son. It's a constant battle to keep a good attitude. Satan knows how to trip us up if we don't constantly forgive. Our opening scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 5. So we want to turn over there, Matthew 5. We're going to start in verse 21. Matthew 5:21 says, "You have heard that it was said to them of old time, 'You shall not kill.' And whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." Of the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, 'Raka,' in Hebrew it means, 'I spit on you,' shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of Gehenna fire, of being thrown in the lake of fire. Therefore, if therefore you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has anything against you, It's not if you have something against him. It says that if you remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are there, while you are with him in the way, lest the adversary delivers you to the judge and the judge delivers you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall by no means come out from there till you have paid the last quadrants. Now, this passage, well, let's drop down to verse 43. I want to read that as well. Matthew 5, 43 to 48, before I finish my statement. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. That is very difficult to do. If someone's out trying to hurt you, it's hard to pray for that person. But this is what we're commanded to do. See, Yahshua's message was radical. It was different. See, because most people, if your enemy do something to you, you want to do it to them before they do it to you. See, that's the mentality of the world. You know, get them first before they get you. But Yahshua was totally different. Yahshua's telling us to pray for them that persecute you and that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And that's what we want to be like. We want to emulate Yahshua and his Father, our Father, Almighty Yahweh. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? See, you're no better than any of the sinners. Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Yes, the sinners love their own. You think about it. But we're supposed to overcome and love our enemies. That's very difficult to do. But we can do it because Yahweh has given us that ability through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And this is how we are connected to the source. When we overcome the world, we are the sons of the living Elohim. You, therefore, shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to be perfect. And this is how we can be perfected. Okay? If I allow my relationship with my son to come between me and my wife, it comes between me and Almighty Yahweh. I can't change my son, but I can control my reaction to the things he does that bothers me. See, I can only control myself. And this is what we have to learn in all of these relationships that Satan is trying to come between you. Whether he uses your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your parents, your grandchildren, he's trying to destroy the relationship you have with Yahweh. That's what this whole thing is about. If he can destroy that relationship and separate you, then he's won the battle. He's got you defeated. And we don't want that. Thing. Genesis chapter 4. We know when I started this series that we were dealing with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and how Satan came and lied to Eve, tricked her, and caused them to sin against Almighty Yahweh. He came between them. In Genesis 4, this is the second phase. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain.
and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass, after many years, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat of it, the first fruits. And Yahweh had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, he still had a relationship, okay? Even though they had been cast out of the garden, he still had a relationship with the people. Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door until you shall be its desire, but you should rule over it. We should rule over sin. We don't have to give in to it. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to give in to sin. He wants us to do what's wrong. See? I had a conversation with a man last night about the knowledge of good and evil. He's saying it's good that we have that. And I told him, you don't want your children to have evil or the knowledge of it. Yahweh didn't want Adam and Eve to know evil. He only wanted them to know the good. See? So what happened here is that Yahweh told Cain, before he committed this sin, it crouches at the door, it's there. Satan is trying to get you and take you away. All you have to do is resist him. But in verse 8, Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. He lied. He lied. Just as Satan taught Eve, lied to Eve, here's the second situation where a lie is told. But he's lying to Yahweh. How often do we do this? I mean, you can lie to yourself, but we're lying to Yahweh. You think about it. He's the deceiver of the whole world, as it says in Revelation chapter 12. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. He has got the people of this world deceived. And you think about it. You know, the more truth you know, the more you realize you don't know. There's so much out there that we need to know. So much more information that we need to have. But what happened is that Satan had deceived Cain and caused him to believe that he could get away with this. See? So he's lying to Yahweh, and he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We are all our brother's keeper. And I'll show you that in a minute. And he said in verse 10, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now cursed are you from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. We know that the punishment for death, if you kill someone, is death. That's what the scriptures teach. Okay? But Yahweh didn't do that. He gave him a reprieve. He gave him grace and showed him great grace, and not allowing him to die. Behold, you have driven me, in verse 14, from the face, from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it will come to pass that whoever finds me will kill me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh appointed a sign for Cain, lest any man finding him should kill him. So, basically, he made it almost impossible. I mean, they could have killed him, but it was still, been, you know. But he said seven times. Now, he says, behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from your face shall I be hid. But Yahweh didn't drive him out. He did that himself when he chose sin, when he listened to Satan and killed his brother. And we make these choices, brethren, but it's our reaction. We don't have to react that way. We don't have to do what Satan wants us to do. We can yield. See, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, Yahweh says, and unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return unto the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. See, we were talking about this at dinner last night, about having to work to provide bread, food for your children. And it's hard. But it's hard because of sin that was in the past. And these things, it's not easy to put that food on the table. You know, we live in a society here in America where it's a lot easier than it is anywhere else in the world. You think about it, especially in most third world countries, people struggle to put food on the table. They work very, very hard. And I bring this up often in Kenya. You know, the average worker is living on $1.50 US a day. And that's what they have to feed their family. So, yeah, there are a lot of people in the world starving. There are a lot of people in the world that don't have the blessings we have, that we take for granted here in America. But what we have that a lot of them don't have is the access, okay, not only to wealth, but to knowledge. They have computers in their they don't have the computers in their schools like we do. They don't have the educational system that we do. Most of them go to school to the eighth grade, and that's it. The state, that's all they give them. If they go beyond that, they have to pay themselves. Whereas though we have to pay for college, okay, if we want it, and we have some colleges that you can get in almost practically free. You think about it. I know University of North Carolina only used to charge $500 for a in-state student. If you're out of state, you got to pay that, you know, big bucks, but in-state, University of Maryland is another one. It's not very expensive for in-state students. And I know it's gone up, education here in America, but, you know, we have blessings that we don't take advantage of. And that's sad. Again, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. We must all look out for the welfare of one another. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. And we'll read verse 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. If you see your neighbor doing something, a sin, you're supposed to correct them. But you're supposed to correct them in love. Not beat them over the head with the scriptures, but correct them in love. See? You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Adi Yahweh. I am Yahweh. He signs this with his name. This is important, brother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul persecuted the faithful. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start at verse 12. It says, I thank him that enabled me, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, even Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior. Because, you know, Yahshua struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. He got his attention. For that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service. And prior to that, Paul was in the service of whom? Satan the devil. He was attacking Yahshua's disciples, putting them in prison, killing them. Okay? But Paul was a Pharisee. He was one of the leaders. See, this is the ruling class of Judaism. And they knew the law. They knew the Bible. Inside and out. Though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, however, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He was blind. He couldn't see what he was doing. And that's what happens when we're sinning, brethren. We don't see what we're doing. People, we talk about this often, about David and Bathsheba. Did David know what he was doing? And I said, no, he didn't. He had a man killed. He took his wife, got her pregnant, then had her husband killed. It wasn't until Nathan woke him up and says, you are the man, did David realize what he was doing. And he repented immediately. Did that do any good for Uriah the Hittite? No, he was already dead. Just like Abel was dead. Cain killed Abel. We can't do these things. Yet, when you're blinded, you don't know what you're doing. This is why we have to keep these spiritual eyes going. We got to be connected to Yahweh at all times. Satan is trying to come in and more or less sugarcoat, but take you away from him, little by little. And it could be in any kind of little lie he tells you. Oh, you don't have to do that. It's no longer necessary for you to keep all of the commandments. Just keep the Sabbath. And you think about it. There are groups, like I said, Seventh-day Adventists, they keep the Sabbath. They don't use the name. They don't keep the feast days. You know, but Yahweh wants us to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh. He wants us to keep all of the truth. See, and this is why it's important for us to understand what Yahshua was doing and how he did it. How he touched the lives of all the people he came in contact with. Now, verse 14, Paul says, and the grace of our Master abounded greatly with faith and love, which is in the Messiah Yahshua. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners. He came to save us, brethren. To save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is what Paul is saying. He was the chief sinner. However, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me, as chief, might Yahshua the Messiah show forth all his long suffering for an example of them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit to you, Timothy, my child, according to the prophecies which led the way to you, that by them you may war the good warfare. Because we're in a battle, brethren. And this battle that we're in is an every moment thing. It's something that you have to be on guard at every moment. And we can't let down our guard. Yahweh has to be in your relationships between husband and wife, between mother, father, and child, between siblings. If Cain had Yahweh in that relationship, he would not have killed his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Each one of us is. We have to not only show love for our brother and sister, we have to look out for them in everything we do. That's important. You love your sister, right? Okay? So that means you're going to do the things necessary to take care of her. If you see her doing something that's not right, you're going to correct her, right? Okay, Kayla. But we're going to look out for our siblings as well as our parents, as well as our children and our grandchildren, because this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He says to Timothy, that by them you may war the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, with some of them having thrust from them made shipwreck concerning the faith. And that's what Satan wants to have in your life. He wants you to have a shipwreck. He wants you to walk away from the service of Almighty Yahweh, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Yet Paul himself was a blasphemer. Was he a hypocrite? Not at this point, because he had made the change. See? And that's what we have to do. When we see and recognize the sin within ourselves, we have to repent. That's so important, repentance. That's the first step. These series of sermons is based on a book that I'm reading, or pretty much have read, called War of Words. I'm going to read a little excerpt from it. It says, the humility of the evangel. The spirit that underlies Yahweh's plan for our talk is the spirit of humility. That is the only appropriate response to the evangel realities revealed by this passage. In the evangel, the magnitude of our sin and the grandeur of Yahweh's grace are revealed. These realities leave no room for boasting. This humility echoes the spirit of Paul, who saw himself as the worst of all sinners. It recognizes not only the grace given at conversion, but the daily grace that flows in our lives so that we may live and speak as Yahweh has planned. An everyday ministry of intervention is not born out of pride of personal accomplishment. And too often that happens. We do something and we build ourselves up. See, we have to be humble, brethren. Experience, wisdom, or success. Nor is it born out of a subtle belief that the person's giving and receiving ministry is somehow essentially different from each other. Rather, it admits that there is nothing that I can give another that I do not need myself. I may have known Yahweh for many years, but I need his grace as much today as I did the first moment I believed. If there is any truth, life, hope, grace, and good in my life, it is because of his work. The only thing I bring to the table is my weakness and my sin. So I do not approach the ministry from a position of confidence in my own strength and wisdom, encouraging you to be like me.
No, I come in weakness and sin to lead you to the only one who has strength and deliverance to offer.
And that's Yahshua the Messiah. And that's what we do. We try to lead people to Yahshua so that they can repent, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and be able to fight this war against the devil. Because that's where the changes are going to be made. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I use this passage often lately. And the reason is, I want people to understand that we have to be connected. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See? There is one body, brethren, and one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one hell, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. And that's based on the measure of that Holy Spirit that you've received at baptism. And trust me, if you don't have it, you know it. And you know you have need of it. So therefore, you have to work at making the changes in your life so that you can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, that you can be baptized. Because that's the first step. That's an outward showing of an inward cleansing. Are you walking in the grace that has been given, brethren? Almighty Yahweh has a redemptive purpose for each one of us who yields to His law. A blessing for each of us who thinks about what we say to each other. Our speech should be positive and uplifting, not negative and destructive, because that's what Satan does. Each of our words should be governed by grace. When we realize all that Yahshua has done for us, it makes us humble to know that in our sinful state, Yahshua died for us. So we should readily forgive anyone who sins against us, because we have been forgiven. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 to 25. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Is Yahshua his brother's keeper? Absolutely. Who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Revelation chapter 1. Connected to the source, brethren, is what we need to be. John, the author of Revelation, the one that penned it, we know Yahshua is the one that authored it, was the brother of Yahshua. This is the one that Yahshua loved that was in his bosom during the Passover when they asked him to reveal who Yahshua was speaking of when he said about who was going to betray Yahshua. And he dipped a sop and gave it to Judas Iscariot. But they asked John to get Yahshua to reveal, because John was very, very close to Yahshua. It says, the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, which Yahweh gave him to show to his servants, even the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness of the word of Yahweh and of the testimony of Yahshua, the Messiah, of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. And brethren, the time is at hand, because it is much closer to Yahshua's coming, second coming, than it was at the time this was written. John, to the seven assemblies that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Yahshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him that loves us and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and he made us a kingdom of priests, to his El and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him, even so. Amen. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, says Yahweh Elohim, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Yahshua answered and said, to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born anew, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. It's very important that we understand this. John chapter 4. Are you ready for the harvest, brethren? Satan is trying to discourage and separate all of Yahweh's people. But in John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when therefore the teacher knew that the Pharisees had heard that Yahshua was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Yahshua himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And it was necessary for him to pass through Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, in the old days. So he comes to a city of Samaria called Shechem, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there.
Yahshua, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour.
And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahshua says to her, give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you being a Jew, now this term Jew, the word is Yehuda. It means one who praises Yahweh. Okay? Ask drink of me who am a Samaritan woman. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews had no dealings with Gentiles. See? Not only is he dealing with a Gentile, he's dealing with a woman, which is even worse in the eyes of the people of that day, the authorities. Yahshua answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of Elohim and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Where then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Now the Samaritans were transplanted from over in Assyria. The Assyrians had transplanted them when they took Israel into captivity. To the cities of the Medes. Okay? Just like Israel had become the Persians, these Persians that had been transplanted there became the Samaritans. That was a way of controlling people. When you conquer them, you transplant them from their home, disrupt their lifestyle, and cause them to, you know, have to adopt another home so that they are not easily going to revolt against you. So they're calling Jacob their father, because what happened is when they were transplanted to the land and they were being killed, they had to have priests teach them of the Elohim or the Mighty One of the land. And that's what happened. You can find that back in the book of Kings. We'll deal with that later, but it's in the Old Testament where they were transplanted there. I'm pretty sure it is the book of Kings, where they had to have a priest teach them the law of the land. So they were taught of Yahweh by a priest. So these Samaritans knew of the ways of Yahweh. They knew who Yahweh was. They had been taught. And she is calling, are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Yahshua answered and said to her, everyone that drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of springing up to eternal life. Water springing up to eternal life. The woman says to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all this way here to draw. She was still thinking on a carnal level. She was not on the spiritual level, understanding what Yahshua was talking about. Yahshua said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said to him, I have no husband. Yahshua says to her, you said, well, I have no husband, but you have had five husbands. And he whom you now have is not your husband. This have you said truly. The woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Because you're telling me my business, you know? You know what I've been doing.
the Yahshua got inside her head. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yahshua says to her, woman, I believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You shall worship, you worship that which you know not. And this is what he's saying, because most of the Gentiles don't know who they worship. They believe they worship Yahweh, but they don't call on the name of Yahweh. They don't make that proper separation. They're worshiping the name of God. They're worshiping the name of the Lord. And we know that those are not the names of Almighty Yahweh. They're names of pagan mighty ones. See? The term Lord is just another term of Baal. There was a Baal of the north, Baal of the valley, Baal of the hill, Baal of the, you know, on every corner. Just like it is today. You know, you go and there's a church on every corner. He says, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know. For salvation is of Yahudim, the ones who worship or praise Yahweh. See? Salvation is not of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's of Yahudim, those who worship Yahweh. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman says to him, I know that the Messiah comes, he that is called the Messiah, Mashiach, the Anointed. When he has come, he will declare to us all things. Did he not just declare to her everything that she had done? The five husbands that she had had? He already declared it to her. And Yahshua says to her, I that speak to you am he. He told her that he was the Messiah. Drop down the verse. Now let's continue. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled. Oh, no. And they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no man said, what are you looking for? Why do you talk with her? So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and says to the people, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Can this be the Messiah? They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples supplicated to him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not. The disciples therefore said one to another, has any man brought anything to eat? Yahshua said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. And each one of us has to do that, brethren. We have to accomplish the work. We have to understand the purpose that we have, that Yahweh has called us to do. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, that they are white already to harvest. He that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to life eternal. That he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent to you to reap that on which you have not labored. Others have labored,
and you have entered into their labor. It says, and from that city many of the Samaritans believed on him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all things that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they supplicated him to remain with them, and he remained there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your speaking, but we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. But you know, it seems that a lot of people will believe on Yahshua the Messiah, not just because they've heard the word being preached, but because they've seen what it has done in the lives of others. Paul was an example of that. Peter was another example of that. Okay? Are you ready for the harvest, brethren? Satan is trying to discourage and separate all of Yahweh's people. Peter, you turn over to Luke chapter 22. Peter, the bishop of the assembly, fell several times and got back up, each time to overcome Satan. If we don't worry about how we look in other people's eyes, we can do the same thing. See? In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Yahshua says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for you that your faith fail not. And do you, when once you have turned again. And this is important to understand right here. Yahshua is telling him, once you have turned again. In other words, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. But once you have repented, once you have turned again, establish your brethren. And he said to him, Rabbi, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he says, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until you have 3 times denied that you know me, much less stand up for me. And he did. He denied him. But Yahshua told him, once you have turned again, establish your brethren. And that's what Peter did. He became the bishop. He led the people because he had to overcome himself. And he did. Because Satan wanted, as Yahshua told him, to sift him. And Peter turned. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is the high priestly prayer of Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 1, it says, these things spoke Yahshua, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he should give eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they should know you, the only true Elohim, and him whom you did send, even Yahshua the Messiah. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. That was the meat that Yahshua was given. And now, Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. He taught the name of Yahweh. It was against the law with the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel to use the name of Yahweh. They had a ban on the name, just like they do today in Israel. If you go using Yahweh's name, you're going to be in trouble. See? Because it's against the law in their eyes. It's not against the law in Yahweh's eyes, but against the law in their eyes, spiritually. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things, whatever you have given me, are from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from you. And they believe that you did send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We are. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He wants Yahweh to keep his people from the evil one. And Yahweh does give us that protection. And that protection comes through his Holy Spirit. That's what protects us from Satan the devil. Because we're keeping the covenant, and we can resist him through the word of Almighty Yahweh, and he will flee from us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. See, and that's us today. Because we believe on Yahshua the Messiah through the words of Peter, through the words of Paul, through the words of Moses, and those that have written the Holy Word. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, to one people, one body, that the world may know that you did send me and love them, even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me. And I made known to them your name, and will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Yahshua was connected to the source, brethren. He was the son of Yahweh, just like the song. That we started service with. It talked about the sons of Elohim. We have to live up to that, brethren. We have to be a part of that kingdom which is soon to come upon this earth and be connected to Almighty Yahweh. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, as we think about it, what can separate us from Almighty Yahweh? Nothing, brethren, nothing. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope
that the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for that which he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait with patience for it. And in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, and this is what we have to do as well. We have to encourage the hearts of our children. See? We have to keep them understanding that Yahweh is always going to be there for them, that Yahweh is going to bless them and lift them up. All they have to do is be faithful. And he that searches the hearts knows what it is in the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. And we have been called according to Yahweh's purpose. For he whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who is against us? He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give us freely all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh's elect? It is Yahweh who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is the Messiah Yahshua that died, yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, even as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. Brethren, if we're connected to the Source, if we're connected to Almighty Yahweh, nothing can separate us from Almighty Yahweh. For our closing passage, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read the 1 John 4 in its entirety, and then chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of Yahweh. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. And if they tell you anything that is not of Yahweh, if they try to separate you from Yahweh, we know that they are a false prophet. By this shall you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Anamessiah, of which you have heard that it comes, and now is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh, and everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. In this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atonement, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we ought to love one another. And that's the key. We have to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And he only gives his Spirit to those that obey. In Acts 5:32, Yahweh gives his Spirit to them that obey. Those who are keeping the covenant. In verse 14, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know that and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him, in this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. And we're not worried about punishment, because we know that we've overcome this world, brethren. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If any man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, like Cain, who killed his brother, is a liar. And we know Cain was a liar. He lied right to Yahweh. For he that does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. In chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, for we love Yahweh and do his commandments. For this is love of Yahweh. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatever is begotten of Yahweh overcomes the world. We're Israel, overcomers. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh? And that is something that we believe, brethren. And this is the reason that we are connected to the source. It's the reason that we are Yahweh's people. Almighty Yahweh has given us the ability to be his people, to be his children, to walk in his ways, to overcome this life and Satan the devil.
We are connected to the source if we keep the covenant law, if we do that which is right, if we are our brother's keeper, and we show love one to another. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you are connected to the source. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey to close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father Yahweh, the creator of the universe, life sustainer, we give you thanks and praise for this message today, Father. Help us to take this message at heart, Father, and stay connected to you, that we'll be able to resist the devil, Father. The world is on a collision course, Father. Strengthen us and keep us mindful of your covenant and your laws, Father. And help us to love the brethren as Yahweh taught, as Yahshua taught. Strengthen YPTC. Protect the leaders and protect the brethren, Father. And most of all, keep us united as one, as your son is one. And we ask all things in your son's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.